We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Greetings to everybody in the house joining us in person, and greetings to everybody joining us online. We are in the third week of our series, and it is called It Took Too Long to Realize. It Took Too Long to Realize. You know, you've got those movies, right? And it's like, you know the piece of information, but the protagonist doesn't know the piece of information. Like, you know that the bad guy's in the house, right? You know that the velociraptors are in the room with the children. You know these things. You saw the little shadow of Chucky run by and the protagonist too. And you're like, oh, there's some people you can't even go to movies with because they're like yelling at the screen. They're like, look, you can't get out of that house. Chucky's in that house. Like they're yelling it. What is that about? Because they're trying to get somebody to realize. And your favorite characters, it just takes them too long to realize. We are not so unlike them. There are things in our life that it's just taken us way too long to realize. There are some things where I'm so glad I learned them, but I really wished I would have learned them a lot sooner. In week one, we talked about how Jesus is both God and the Son of God. And in week two, last week, we talked about what God expects and a faith that works, not a faith versus works, but a faith that works. Today, I want to share what I believe is a very helpful message. I want to help somebody today. Here it is. It took too long to realize his voice. Can you say that sentence with me? It took too long to realize his voice. I'm going to share with you something that just, it took me way too long to realize. But once I understood it, it really helped me. It took too long to realize his voice. I want you to ask yourself, have I ever heard God's voice? Ask yourself that question. And by voice, what do I mean? Here's what I mean. I mean direct communication from God. Direct communication where you knew that was the Lord talking to me. I hear you loud and clear. Get an answer to that question. That's a really important question. He spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden, didn't he? He spoke to Noah. He spoke instruction to Noah. Did that save his life? Did it save his family's life? It kind of saved our life too, right? He spoke to Abraham in a face-to-face encounter. He spoke to Joseph in dreams. He spoke to Moses in a burning bush. That's right. He spoke to his children through the voice of prophets, through prophecies. He spoke to Ezekiel, Daniel, the apostles, Peter and John, and so many more in visions. In visions. There's so many ways God can directly communicate to you. Now, I got to warn you, you are not going to get much out of this message today if you don't believe God still speaks. You need to know God speaks. Somebody say it. God speaks.
God speaks.
If you don't believe that, I got a question for you. Why are you even going to church? If God doesn't still speak, we might as well just set up shop beside the museum where George Washington used to speak and Albert Einstein used to speak. And just all the litany of good voices at once rang out, and we could just come together and remember that one time the Lord spoke. If we don't believe God still speaks, we become a museum. I want to tell you today, we are not a museum. Our God is alive and well, and he still speaks. Now, there are those who believe God no longer speaks. I'm talking about Christians. There are Christians who believe God no longer speaks. Do we love those people?
Yes.
Yeah, we love those people. If you're one of those people, please, we're not angry at you. Please listen to us. We want you to know, we want to testify to you today that God still speaks. We want you to hear his voice. But there are those that would tell you that God has given us the Bible and that the preaching of the Bible is the only communication we can receive from God today. I want to tell you, although I love the Bible and I preach from the Bible and the Bible is true, I want to tell you, I completely disagree that the Bible is the only way God communicates. That is absolutely not true, I would tell you. The God who spoke to men, women, and children still speaks today. It is not enough to believe God spoke. We must believe that he still speaks. He called a young child named Samuel in the middle of the night, and he can still call his children's name in the night. He whispered in a still small voice to a frightened prophet named Elijah. And the same God can whisper to you in the middle of your scariest situation. We serve a God who spoke to world leaders directly or through a prophet. He sent word and communicated to world leaders. People like the Pharaoh of Egypt, Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, or Cyrus of Persia. These were world leaders, the world leader at the time. And God spoke directly to them. These kings who were not followers of Jehovah God, they were not followers of the true God. They were pagans. They worshiped false gods. Yet the Lord spoke directly to them.
Yes.
Does anyone believe God still can still speak to a president?
Yes.
He can still speak to a prime minister. He can still speak to directors, to dictators and senators. I want to tell you, he can even speak to your boss. Pray for your boss. He can speak to him. If you got problems with somebody high up, pray for them because God speaks. He still speaks. And he will speak to you. Before we go a step further, let's pray that God would speak to us today. Lord, right now, all over this house, let's pray. Lord, let us hear your voice. Help us to listen. Help us to obey. Speak to us today. Help us to realize your voice, Jesus. Lord, I don't want to be the voice that they hear. Lord, I want them to hear your voice. I want them to hear a direct communication straight from you, God, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm telling you, if you prayed that prayer in the room or online, I am believing that God is going to speak to you today. This is your day. This is your moment. Everybody should come out of here going, God's real and he still speaks. We're going to be looking at John chapter 10. Now we are working on our screen back here. So why don't you pull out your phone all over this place or your Bible. If you bring a Bible to church, bring out your digital Bible. We're going to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Everyone pull it up. It's as simple as a Google search. You just search John 10 and it brings it up. Check that out. All right. As you turn in the Word of God, I want you to know that God speaks to believers and unbelievers. He speaks to the righteous and he speaks to the unrighteous. He speaks to the Jew and he speaks to the Gentile. Do not think that he will not speak to you. He will speak. Wherever you are on the spectrum, he will speak. Now let's look at John chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. If you're there, say amen. All right. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees. Who's he talking to? Pharisees. Were they hardcore believers in Jesus Christ? No, they're the ones that put him on the cross, right? Will he speak to those that are against him? Will he speak to those that don't believe? Will he even speak to those who reject him? The answer is yes. So my friend, he will absolutely speak to you. Let's read. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. Someone say voice.
Voice.
He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Very good. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. God spoke to the Pharisees about the shepherd and his sheep. Now, what does this mean? Who is the shepherd? Jesus, the Lord God, is our shepherd. Who are the sheep? The sheep are those that would listen to his voice. The voice of the shepherd, the voice of the Lord. The Pharisees did not understand Jesus. The conversation continues. Drop down to verse 24. Verse 24, the Jews who were gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep." Pay attention. Last verse we're going to read. "My sheep, listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me." My sheep, listen to my, everyone say, voice. Excellent. The Jews say, "Tell us, tell us." And Jesus said, "I already did. I already did." I want to tell you today, the Lord has already been speaking to you. Maybe you prayed a moment ago, "God, speak to me. God, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you speak to me." I want to tell you, the Lord has already said, "I've already done it. I've already spoken to you. You just haven't realized it." So God, open up our understanding. It's taken us too long to realize your voice. "I did," he said, "but you did not believe because you are not my sheep." Then Jesus tells us how his sheep are easily identified. His sheep listen to his voice. He knows them. They have relationship and they follow him. Jesus says that the sheep can recognize the voice of the shepherd and also recognize voices that are not the shepherd's. Wait a second. I know that voice. I don't know that voice, the voice of a stranger. These strangers' voices, they do not trust. You can get a whole lot of trouble in life by listening to the voice of a stranger and not the voice of the shepherd. The other day, I picked up the phone and I heard a voice ask me for my social security number. What should I have done? Pick up the phone. "I need your social security number." Do I just, in fact, y'all want me to just recite my social security number now for everyone? It depends who's asking. Exactly. What should I have done? Well, what if I revealed that the voice was the voice of my wife? And she was calling me because she was filling out some paperwork. Now what should I do? Should I give that number out? All right, here it comes. Recognizing the voice makes a huge difference. I trust the voice of my wife. I recognize the voice of my wife. I have a relationship with the voice, with the person that is attached to that voice. Would you recognize your spouse's voice? Would you recognize your mom's voice? Would you recognize your father's voice? How about your best friend's voice? Would you recognize it? If you didn't recognize their voice, then I would question your relationship. Now follow me. We should recognize God's voice. If we don't recognize God's voice, then what does that say about our relationship with God? As a newborn baby, you learn the voice of your mom and dad. We're so blessed to have some newborn babies in this church. And you can witness parents talking to their baby and the child just lights up. Do you think the parents enjoy talking to the baby? Oh, yes, they do. Yes, they absolutely do. Do you think the baby enjoys hearing the voice of their parents? Yes, absolutely. In fact, let a stranger come around. And that's where Pastor Chris just doesn't have any sense. There's this baby that doesn't know me. And I'm like, "Oh, that's absolutely right." And they're like, "I don't know you." What you talking about, Willis? Who are you? What is that voice? You see, the baby learns the voices of the parents, and they know who they are. And that sticks with you for the rest of your life. Voice equals relationship. Say it. In the same way, we need to learn God's voice. And this is what took me so long to realize. It took me so long to realize his voice. In my experience, God was talking to me long before I realized. Long before I recognized my voice, he was trying to speak to me. Anybody relate to that? Oh my, it's a good thing to be past that and to be in a realization. If you aren't at that place, I want to tell you, I want you to get you to that place where you realize today. Let me share some of my personal experiences upon hearing the voice of the Lord. I want to tell you that we serve a personal God. Everyone say personal God. I need you to know that God is personal. His communication is as unique as you are. You're unique, aren't you? Yeah. There are different ways to speak to us all, right? Who here loves phone calls? Raise your hand. Right. It's like, okay, y'all need to call those two back there. They're the only ones in this house like phone calls. Who would rather text message? All right. What about email? Yeah. What about a face-to-face encounter? Who prefers that? Yeah, right there. All right. We're all different, right? My goodness. If you want to harm my wife, ask her to pick up the phone and call someone. Instead, no, it's like text. She will text all day, all right? That's a clue about my wife. I text her good night every night. But God communicates with us in different ways. Why? Because we're all different. Aren't we all different? Yeah. Did God speak to everyone the same in the Bible? How many burning bushes are there? There's one burning bush. You are not needing to duplicate my experience with God's voice. I want to tell you that. That's one thing we can mess up on. Don't try to duplicate my experience. You need to have your own experience and learn the unique ways he communicates with you. And so I'm just going to come right out there. God communicates with me in a very specific way. And he's been doing it for a long time. Here it is. I just call it fire on my hands. Everyone say fire on my hands. Fire on my hands. In my early 20s, I was in Waco, Texas, at the most wonderful God-filled, powerful, sacred spot we call Taco Cabana. It was a Sunday night, and I was sitting with some church friends. You see, kids, they used to have church on Sunday night. Wait, we still do.
Oh, we still do.
That's us, right? My friends and I, we were having a good time. I wouldn't say that we were doing anything spiritual. We were scarfing tacos and we were talking. That's it. What are we talking about? I don't even know. The latest movie or something. You know, what we should do next or what's wrong with that other person. We were not just being spiritual people. Nobody here was quoting the scripture. It's like, dear brother, I've learned a new chapter of the Bible. Here is Psalm 119. And they quote that. That's the longest chapter in the Bible, by the way. All right. And there I am. Taco Cabana. Minding my own business when I felt the presence of the Lord on my hands. On my hands. It was a sensation all over my hands. I was like, at first I was like, what is that? It was, you know how your hand can go to sleep? You know, but that is bothersome. No, it was like topical. It was like on my hands, but it didn't hurt. It didn't bother me. It was like a wonderful sensation. At one point, I wanted to know what in the world's going on. But the other point, I was like, wow. It's both of those things at the same time. It caused me to shut up and freeze. And you know, it takes a lot to make Chris Fluitt shut up. The info girl said amen. It was like they were on fire, but not burning. Or hurting. It felt powerful. And it didn't take me too long to know this was God. You follow me?
Yeah.
Excellent. I had felt this before, though. I'd felt this before at, where do you think I felt it? At church, right? Where do you usually feel God? You feel him at church, right? I remember years before I was singing at church. I was actually leading what they called a special song. I was leading Awesome God. That's right, folks. Awesome God by Rich Mullins. When he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz. I was leading Awesome God. It was a great moment. If you don't know that song, I just don't even know how to relate to you. And while I was leading this song, maybe at the age of 13 or 14, I felt this sensation happen on my hands while I was singing. And I began to tear up as I was singing to the Lord, and I felt his presence. It made me begin to cry. It also made me hold this microphone here and give this other one. It just started to like give a little tremor. There was a little tremor. You follow me? You get the picture?
Yeah.
And the people in the room saw me and they saw I was acting different. And they thought in their heads, he's got stage fright. Now, if you know me, you'll know this. Chris Fluitt has never had the stage fright. But they saw something in the natural and they thought, ah, he's singing and he's probably really scared about it, really nervous about it. Now, they weren't feeling what I was feeling. Isn't that right? You agree? But you know what? I thought they must be right. Person after person came up to me after church and they said, oh, you sang so good. Just be more brave next time. Oh, you sang so good. I was praying for you. Don't let that be the last time you sing. And that put things in my mind like, oh, that wasn't the Lord. That was you being stupid. That wasn't the Lord. That was you being weak. That wasn't the Lord. That was you not being good enough. Be careful with your words. None of those people meant me harm, but I want to tell you that what those people said that day, not realizing his voice, set me back all the way to Taco Cabana. Now, here I am, years later, early 20s, and I'm feeling the manifestation, the same one on my hands at Taco Cabana. It all comes rushing back to me, and I compare notes. Well, I'm definitely not experiencing stage fright at Taco Cabana. It also floored me that I was not at church. I believe in God. I believed in God all my life. But without knowing it, I put God in a little church box. He speaks to me at church. I feel his presence at church. Prayers are answered at church. Prayer happens at church and only church. Reading the Bible only happens at church. You get my picture? My goodness, God shows up at Taco Cabana. God will show up at your job. God will show up in your car. He won't just show up here. God wasn't bothered at all that we moved across the parking lot. He said, that's great. I'm already there. God is everywhere, including Taco C. And here is the mistake that most people make. We look to other people for confirmation for his voice. I'm going to say again. We look to other people to confirm what they don't even hear, what they don't even feel, what they aren't even attuned to confirm his voice. Sweetheart, he's not talking to them. He's talking to you. The Lord is talking to you. The Lord was talking to a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old me, singing a song that included the word Ritz about God. That verse gets me every time. It's so funny. When it rolls up, I'm sorry. We'll sing it next week. I did this when others told me that I must have stage fright. As I felt what I felt at Taco Cabana. I made the same mistake. I looked around the table and looked for other people to confirm what I was feeling. I said, hey guys, it was awkward, right? Hey guys, you know we're talking about the latest movie and everything, but Do you guys feel anything? That's what I said. It was like that. Well, I've got to ask you, how do you ask? Dear fellow Christians, do any of you perchance feel that the God of all eternity is now revealing himself and your entire future by his supernatural act upon his person, precisely your hands? You don't ask that, right? No, so what you do is you go, hey guys, you guys feel anything? And how do you think they responded to that? They looked at me and was like, you okay? What's going on with you? What's going on with you? And I said, nothing, nothing, nothing. We're changing the subject. My friends stopped talking. They didn't understand what I was talking about. I was looking for confirmation. What it confirmed to me is they are not feeling what I'm feeling. They are not sensing what I'm sensing. But God never stopped interacting with me. No one else felt what I felt, but I knew it was still real. Can I tell you? Even if no one else feels it, it's still real. If no one else hears it, it's still God. If no one else, when you are worshiping God, there are times you feel like to worship God in a new area, but you look around. What is everyone else doing? What is everyone else doing? You stop looking at other people to confirm what God is already talking to you. Come on, somebody. It's real. It's real. It's real. Believe it. I need to tell you that what you feel is from God, even though no one else understands it. Do not doubt the Lord. My friends all left Taco Cabana. After an hour, they left. My hands were still lit up. And I remember I very carefully walked to my car, feeling the presence of the Lord. I got in my car and I started to pray. I stayed at that parking lot for multiple hours talking to God. I said to God, God, I do not understand what is going on right here. I know this is you. I believe you want me to understand. I believe that you are trying to talk to me. I want you to know I believe it. Now, please explain it, because I don't understand this at all. This is one of the most important moments of my entire life. On this night, the Lord revealed to me that he would have me work for him, work in his church. God also revealed to me that this was more than a feeling. This was actually God's calling card to Chris Fluitt. It's my God's calling card to me. This was his way of getting my attention. And still today, if the Lord wants to get my attention, that's one of the ways he'll do it. I'll feel it and I will know the Lord is on the scene. He's talking. One night, a few months after the Taco Cabana experience, I was playing a worship service under a tent, and it was raining like crazy. Looking back, I can't believe we still had that service. I'm playing electric instruments and there's water everywhere. But we had that service, and I wanted you to know, under that tent, it was dry. And under that tent, I felt the Lord's presence, specifically all of my hands, while I began to play and sing to a group of people under that tent. And while I was playing, I was just blown away. God, you're happy with me. That's what the Lord confirmed to me that night. I just felt it so strong. I felt like the Lord was communicating. He's pleased with me. God's given me a big thumb up. That's a good thing, right? Oh yeah. I felt like the Lord was saying this. Whatever my hands find to do, do it with all my might, and the Lord will see it through. The Lord will empower what I'm doing for him. That's what I felt that night. And I still feel that way. I believe that way about when I feel this different kind of manifestation of the Lord. It was not long after this moment that the Lord opened up a door for me to hold my first staff position in a church as a worship pastor. I had only been playing the piano for about a year. the Lord opened up that door for me. He was speaking to me. I heard his voice. I listened to his voice. He knew me, and I followed his voice. He's the shepherd. I'm the sheep. A few years later, the year is 2005. Oh, Jeff, you want to know why I know it's 2005? Because it was a Saturday. And it was the Saturday where Vince Young and those Longhorns beat the Sooners in their championship season. Hook 'em, my brother. Hook 'em. We'll sick 'em Bears next week. We're hooking 'em this week. It was 2005, and I was at another very sacred spiritual place, Double Dave's all-you-can-eat pizza buffet in Denton, Texas. And I was completely committing the sin of gluttony. I know it. Know it. Those were my college years. I had a system. You eat one really huge meal a week, and you just survive the rest of the week. That's my college days, but suddenly, during this football game, not thinking about the Lord, suddenly the Lord showed up like he did when I sang Awesome God, like he did when I was at Taco Cabana, like he did when I was under that tent. I felt this very same presence of the Lord. Now, these are years later. I've matured. These are years later. I've become a little more fine-tuned to the voice of the Lord. So I said, Lord, what's going on? What is it? What's it now? This is surprising. It's surprising that you showed up at Double Dave's Pizza. I thought, maybe God, you're asking me to do something. So I began to pray. I said, God, what are you asking me to do? And any moment I felt like God was going to say, I want you to be a missionary to a third world nation. I want you to sell everything and move to Irving. You know, something like that. But God was silent. And can I tell you something? I found that really frustrating. I'm like, God, I don't know if it's really fair for you to do all this and then not explain what it is you're trying to say. So then I tried to faith harder. Does anybody know what it means to faith harder? Anybody? Y'all, some of y'all know. Let me explain to you. Okay, I believe, but maybe I don't believe enough. Oh, now I super believe, right? Like before I ask, Lord, please talk to me. I'm like, Lord, please talk to me. I believe that you're talking. You are talking to me. I believe it. I do believe in spooks. Wizard of Oz. So I tried to faith harder, and that did not work. Did not work at all. And so finally, I just stopped. I just was like, all right, God, if you don't have anything to say, I'm just going to enjoy what I'm feeling. And that's when I felt the Lord. I say I felt. I felt the Lord speak directly to my heart. And it was like words. It was a sentence. I've got the words. I will never forget the words. The words were these. You are the first thing on my mind. You are all I ever think about. The Lord said that to me. God operated in the supernatural just to tell me he loves me. I remember I began to weep. Double Dave's Pizza, blown away that God thinks so much about me. Can I tell you the same thing is true for you? You are all that God ever thinks about. God doesn't think about the socioeconomics of the world. He doesn't think about Republicans versus Democrats. He doesn't think Methodist versus Baptist. He doesn't think Cowboys versus the Washington football team. He doesn't think about those things. You are all he thinks about. You are the first thing and the only thing on his mind. You know that about the Lord? I want to tell you it's absolutely true. His sheep hear his voice, and his sheep learn his voice. Now, I remind you, you do not need to have my exact experience. I'm not saying that you have to have my exact experience at all. I am saying this is a way that the Lord has spoken to me. and I have learned his communication. I know that the Lord wants to speak, to relate his voice to me, and I know he wants to relate it to you as well. We have to learn his voice. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, a young child named Samuel hears a voice in the middle of the night. It's actually the voice of God. And God says one thing. He says, Samuel. He says his name. He calls his name. Samuel hears it. He gets up. He is actually sleeping in the temple next to the ark. It's a good thing he didn't roll over accidentally. Be a totally different story. Bible joke about touching the ark, you die. Never mind. He runs thinking that's the voice of a natural person I know. He ran to the high priest and said, Eli, did you call me? And Eli rubs his eyes and says, no, kid, go back to sleep. Didn't call you. And so Samuel goes back. That was the first time. Guess what? It happens a second time. Guess what? It happens a third time. And finally, Eli, being a spiritual person, being a person of God, being a high priest, he realized, wait a second, God is talking to you. And he says, the next time the Lord calls your name, you just sit up and you say these words, speak, for your servant is listening. And that voice said, Samuel, he leaped up and he said those words, and Samuel's life was changed forever. Sometimes you hear the voice, but you don't understand the voice is God's voice. Anybody relate to that? In the spring of 1997, I experienced God speak to my heart in the clearest way. Such a clear way. I say speak to my heart because it was not audible. I have never heard the audible voice of God. Do I believe in the audible voice of God? Absolutely. It's kind of in the Bible. You kind of, if you believe the Bible, you got to believe in the audible voice of God. But I have different experiences. I have a different experience on that, right? I don't feel any deficiency because God has not spoken to me audibly. I'm just thrilled that he speaks. So it's the spring of my junior year in high school. I'm sitting in a high school theater at an awards ceremony. I'm not doing anything spiritual. Do you see a pattern here? You don't have to be on the mountaintop doing something spiritual for the Lord to speak to you. He wants to show up in your daily life. And here I am in my daily life, not doing anything spiritual, but something spiritual happened anyway. I turned around and I see a classmate walk in the door to the theater. When this guy walked in, I felt the Lord say to my heart, be his friend and I will save him. The Lord said, be his friend and I will save him. Now I was blown away because the Lord had spoken to me so directly. I knew it was God. But as I sat there, doubt started to creep in. Was that really God? Maybe you just thought it. Maybe you just want to act spiritual. You see, the longer you wait, the more negative your inner voice becomes. Was that voice that spoke to me negative? No, it was very positive. My own voice is negative. I ended up beginning to, I said this to myself, you are a fraud and you just want to act like God has spoken to you. These are the words coming in my mind from myself. I want to tell you, when God speaks, it always works just like this. We hear God, we're excited, but if we hesitate responding to his voice, doubt and unbelief start to creep in. And they will become more and more negative. So that if you don't respond to his voice, you will actually be worse off than before you heard his voice. I sat there and I thought for a little bit. I use some logic. God is not against logic, some people. I want to tell you, know that. God is not against logic. These are my thought patterns. I said, number one, did God say it? That did feel like God. That is something God would say. Be his friend, I will save him. God's in the saving business. God's in the friendship business. Check and check. That is something God would say. It's not contrary to word, to his word. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Number two, did Satan say it? What do you think? Do you think Satan said that? I would tell you, Satan is not in the saving business. He is not in the friendship business. That is definitely not something that Satan would say. Satan would not want me to be friends with anybody. He would definitely not want me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with me. So number two, it wasn't the devil. Number three, did I say it? Now this one's the most tricky. This one's the hardest. But I gotta admit, there in my high school years, that it was not really my style to say such a thing, to think such a thing. That kid is actually, if I can be honest, I'm sorry, John, wherever you are. But if I'm being honest, I got to say that is one of the few kids that was actually nerdier than me in class. I was not going to win any cool points by being that kid's friend. Y'all get me? Everybody understand me?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. So, it's not something I would say. In fact, if I'm really honest, I tried to avoid that kid like the plague. He always showed up and I was like, oh, I gotta extricate myself from this situation before anyone sees me talking to this dude. High school, wonderful times. So guess what? Who must it be? If it's not me, if it's not the devil, and if it fits the tone and the nature of God, it must be ding, ding, ding. God for the win and logic to help me get there. So I thought to myself, God just spoke to you. So guess what, buddy? You need to act right now. To not act is disobedience. When God speaks to you, it is an opportunity where you can be obedient or you can be disobedient. His sheep hear his voice and they follow. They are obedient. Also, I just realized in experience, to not act puts me down the path of negative doubt and disbelief.
Yes.
And then there's this. Another soul is involved. Another soul is involved in my obedience. So many times, another soul is involved in our obedience to his voice. So I best do the right thing.
Yeah.
So determined. Coming to a conclusion, believing, having heard the voice of God and knowing I gotta act right now, I turned to my dad to tell him what the Lord had said to me. I want every eye. I need your attention. I need it. I need it now. You listen. I turned to my dad. I'm going to tell him. Why am I gonna tell him? Because I need accountability. There comes a moment where you gotta do something with what the Lord has said. This is that moment I'm about to do it. As I turned to my dad and I opened my mouth to speak, before I could say anything, my dad grabbed my arm like lightning. I don't know how else to describe it, except that he grabbed my arm so quickly it shocked me. And my dad said these words immediately. They shot out of his mouth. He said, Christopher, that boy back there, God says, if you will be his friend, God will save him. There I am in a theater. The Lord speaks to me, but not just me. He spoke to my dad beside me. I looked dumbfounded. And having all this backstory of the Lord actually just told me, I just said, yes, sir. I went immediately and I invited that boy to sit with us. I became his close friend. And God did save him. Not only did God save him, God saved his entire family as well. God did that. Clap your hands for the Lord. Now learn with me. Praise God for all of this. But for weeks, I thought about how God spoke to me and then my dad. And I told the Lord, God, I was going to do what you told me to do. You did not have to tell my dad. God already knew I was going to do it. I was going to say it. So why did you tell my dad? There must be a reason why you did it this way. There's always a reason. And we should know the reason. God's not going to keep it from you. And then God unfolded my understanding. And I started to understand. He spoke to me. And then he spoke to my dad. He spoke to me to obey. He spoke to my dad to confirm. You understand? He spoke to me to obey. I finally got to the place. And when I was ready to do it, God says, I'm also going to throw this on it. I want to confirm it. I want you to know that it's my voice. And I want you to never have to doubt it again. God wants to do more than speak to you. He wants you to know his voice. He wants you to know it. I love miracles. I love signs and wonders. But do you know one of the major reasons he gives you miracles, signs, and wonders is so that you will know that he's real, his word is true, and he is on the scene. Yes. And so that you will know that and have that boldness in you that you carry, not just in that time, but in all the time. I thought I heard the voice of God, but then I absolutely knew I heard the voice of God because he confirmed it. I absolutely know the voice of God. Why is this important? Because the Lord spoke this right to my mind. Here it is. The next time I speak to you, I said, the next time I speak to you, why? Because this is not the only time I want to speak to you. Do you understand? When God speaks to you, it's not the only time he wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you all the time. He wants to speak to you at all times. He wants to speak to you in every situation. So God speaks to me so that the next time I talk to you, you're not going to need someone else to confirm my voice. Because I've confirmed it now. Wouldn't it be silly if every time the Lord spoke to me, I needed to go stand by my dad to see if he would grab my arm? That wouldn't be learning the voice of God. But God confirmed that in me so that the next time the Lord spoke to me, I wouldn't need that sign. I wouldn't need that miracle. I would have that relationship. I would have that trust. And I would just be a child of God that would immediately obey. God wants you to be a child that hears his voice and immediately responds, immediately obeys it, doesn't delay. God doesn't just speak. He establishes his word. He confirms his word to us. Listen to me, Christians. God has spoken to us, but we have not yet learned his voice. Learn his voice. Hear it so quickly. Do you know your mom's voice? If she called right now, would you know your mom's voice? How would you know your mom's voice? Well, you know the things she would say. If that voice started saying some things that weren't like your mom, you would say, "That's not my mom." You also know the sound, the tone, the delivery of her voice. Is that right? Because you have an unbelievable relationship with her. In learning God's voice, you must know the things God would and would not say. You do this by knowing his word. You've got to know the word of God. Once all this lines up, when the voice says the things that God would say, then you must also know this. You must know the sound, the tone, the delivery, and weight of his voice. His voice feels different from every other voice. Yes. There is love in his voice. There is peace in his voice. There's power in his voice. Darkness runs from his voice. Depression runs from his voice. His voice chases away darkness with light and calms storms. He does it. Do you know his voice? Do you know his voice? Now, we're going to pray together very soon. Before we come forward, I want to ask
for more information about Redemption. Look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.